Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. My text this morning is made up of verses 5 through 8, the word of the angel to the women. The word of God at Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There ends our reading of the sacred scripture. May the Lord bless our reading of his word. I call your attention to verses 5 through 8. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we rejoice at thy word and at the gospel of grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. May thy word be proclaimed in power and in truth to the saving of our souls and the souls of our children. Forgive our sins and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Jesus is risen. This is the glad good tidings that the angel proclaimed to the women that first Easter morning. And this is God's word to us this morning. It is a word of celebration. It is a word of great joy. It is a word that has the most important implications for all of our life in the world. Jesus is risen. On the cross, Jesus had accomplished all the work that the Father had given him to accomplish. God had sent him into the world in order to die in the place of his people. And that's exactly what he did and what we celebrated on Good Friday. The purpose of his death was that he would be a substitute for his people. The purpose of his death was that he would endure what they deserved to endure. The purpose of his death was that he would accomplish all of the blessings of salvation. But the question is, how can we be assured that he did? How can we be sure that he accomplished the purpose for which God sent him into the world? This was his intention. But can we know with certainty that that intention was realized? What proof have we? And the answer is his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is risen. The resurrection stands as God's proof to us, to his church throughout all the ages, that Christ accomplished everything that he was sent by God to accomplish. If he had not, there would be no resurrection. If he had not, God would never have raised him again from the dead. If he had not, God would have kept him in that grave, and that's where he would be still today. But that he is risen, that is God's word to us, that he has accomplished our redemption. Only the criminal who has fully satisfied the demands of justice, the claims of justice, is released from prison and is set free again to return to life, to his normal everyday life in the world. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Dutch Reformed theologian, Herman Bavinck, Herman Hoeksema had a great deal of esteem for Herman Bavinck. Bavinck has said that the resurrection is God's amen to Jesus' word, "It is finished." Indeed, God's amen. That's how we must look at the resurrection. And that was the angel's message to the women that first Easter morning. His word to them was, "Fear not ye." Fear not. Fear nothing. Every fear dispelled. I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. The crucified lives. The one who was dead is alive again forevermore. Fear not ye. That's the gospel of the resurrection. And that's the gospel of the resurrection today too. The word of God As much as the angels brought the women the word of God, so do I this morning bring to you and to myself the very word of God. Fear not ye, he is risen, as he said. Risen indeed. That's my theme this morning. Let's notice three things together. First, the resurrection proclaimed to the women and to us. The resurrection applied. And finally, the resurrection believed. The first announcement of Jesus' resurrection was made to a group of women. A group of women who came to the sepulcher early that Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Taking all the gospel accounts into consideration, we know the names of several of these women. There was Mary, the wife of James and Joses, called here the other Mary, to distinguish her from Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was Siloam, who was the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee. She was the sister of Mary, and therefore the aunt of the Lord Jesus. And her sons, James and John, were his cousins, his first cousins. And that explains, too, why Salome thought her son should have preferential treatment, and one should be on the right hand of the Lord and the other on the left in his glory. There was Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. Absolutely remarkable. Herod's steward, right within his own household, one of his chief servants, his steward, and his wife, believers on Jesus Christ, those who served the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Mark speaks of several other women who had followed Jesus from Galilee down to Jerusalem and who had witnessed his crucifixion. There was also Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven devils, at least at first. She was with the women at the beginning, until the women noticed at a distance that the stone had been rolled back from the mouth of the sepulcher. When they saw that, Mary Magdalene turned around and ran back into Jerusalem to tell the disciples that obviously somebody had robbed the sepulcher. Jesus' body had obviously been stolen. She therefore left the company of the other women, was not there to hear the word of the angel, Jesus is risen. This was a very sad group of women that made their way to the sepulcher early on that first day of the week, Sunday. They were downhearted, altogether discouraged. All their hopes had apparently been dashed to pieces in Jesus' death. All during Jesus' earthly ministry, they had served him. They had cared for his needs, and they had willingly received his instruction, his preaching and teaching. They had believed that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, prophesied throughout the Old Testament scriptures. He was the one of whom all the prophets and all the promises spoke. They were all to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this. He's dead and buried. They loved him dearly. They found great delight in ministering to him. But now he is dead. They make their way to his grave, therefore, with heavy hearts. They had been at Golgotha, standing afar off and beholding that awful scene that played out on Golgotha. They had witnessed the death of their Lord. They had watched as the soldiers had nailed his hands and his feet to the cross pieces. They had watched as they erected the cross, and there he hung, suspended from the cross, violated, abused. They had heard the taunts of the mob, the jeers of the soldiers, all that the passers-by had to say in spite against Jesus of Nazareth. And they had heard his cry, what one commentator calls his scream out of the darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They had been there to witness his final words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They had seen the soldiers break the legs of the two malefactors. They had watched as one of the soldiers took his spear and with that spear thrust it into Jesus' side. Out came the blood and the water. And finally, they had watched as Joseph and Nicodemus had removed Jesus' body, hastily prepared it for burial, and then they had followed them as they brought the body of Jesus and laid it to rest in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They knew exactly where they were going that Sunday morning because they had witnessed his burial the previous Friday evening. A sad lot, thoroughly disillusioned, altogether unprepared for what they met. Altogether unprepared for the news of the angel. Altogether unprepared for the truth of the gospel. He is risen. They had come to the grave, not in the hope of Jesus' resurrection, but they had come to the grave merely to complete what Joseph and Nicodemus had only hastily done the Friday before. Their intention was to put the spices and the perfume and to anoint Jesus' body. Eventually, Joseph and Nicodemus had left Jesus in that tomb with the preparations for his burial incomplete. They came to the grave merely to complete what they had left undone. They were concerned as they walked about the rolling away of the stone. That indicates that they had absolutely no thought in their heads that Jesus would have risen from the dead. It indicated that they took for granted that he was still in that grave in their eagerness to properly and honorably bury the Lord Jesus. They had forgotten all about the stone that sealed the entrance. But they kept on going. And as they drew near, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Even then, the thought never entered into their minds that Jesus had risen from the dead. They continued to the grave. Mary Magdalene went back, but their thoughts were no different than hers. Something had happened to the body of Jesus. And so when they arrived at the sepulcher, they could hardly believe what they heard and what they saw. Luke tells us that they entered into the tomb before the angel addressed them. They had already stuck their heads through the entryway. They could see that the grave was entirely empty. They found not the body of Jesus. And it was then, at that point, that suddenly the angel appeared unto them. I must say, by the way, that if the scriptures were a forgery, if the scriptures were not the inspired word of God, but the word of man, never would have happened this way. Never would have. The first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, the first ones to proclaim the truth that Jesus is risen, the first ones to say that they heard the word of God and saw the risen Savior themselves, women, women were not even accorded in a Roman court of law at that time the privilege of being a witness in any legal action. The report of a woman was as untrustworthy as a thief or a slave, it was said. And even if she were an eyewitness of something, her account would never have been credible. If the gospel accounts were forged, if the gospel accounts were merely the word of man, it never would have happened that women would have been the first to hear, the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. The word of the angel was, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said." Risen as he said. And behold, the evidences that his word is true. The evidences that, in fact, he is risen from the dead. There's, first of all, the empty grave itself. They saw with their own eyes that the grave was empty. There was no body in that grave. His body was not there. He was risen, as he said he would rise. Besides, there was the place where the Lord lay. Verse 6, special attention called to that by the angel. "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." The angel was not merely directing their attention again to the empty grave, but to the very slab of stone on which Jesus' body had lain. For there, on that slab of stone, were the grave clothes. No body in them. That was obvious. But there were those grave clothes, exactly as they had been wound, overlapping entirely around Jesus' body, his arms and his legs separately. They were there, not unwrapped and left in a pile somewhere, not entirely gone out of the sepulcher, which quite obviously would have been what had happened if someone had stolen the body of Jesus. They wouldn't have taken the time with the soldiers there, especially, to unwind all the grave clothes. And who would want to carry a dead body without anything between? And those grave clothes weren't taken off and folded neatly in a pile. They were there in the grave exactly as they had been wrapped about Jesus' body. Like a tire once inflated, now flat. There they were, right where Jesus had lain. The only explanation can be, he went through those grave clothes. He's risen, just as the angel had said. And then, the angel calls attention to himself. "Lo," verse 7, he says, "Lo, I have told you. I am an angel of the Lord. I have been sent by God. I come not with my own word, but I come from heaven with the word of God. I, the angel, have told you. Believe the word then. The Lord is risen. Do you think, children, that if an angel appeared to you, let us say tonight, while you were in bed just before you fell asleep, appeared to you in your bedroom, you would immediately recognize an angel? Certainly you would. And if that angel said something to you, do you think you would believe the word of that angel? I'm sure that you would. Angels don't do that anymore. They don't appear directly to us as they did to the women by the grave. But if an angel tells you something, best that you believe it. For angels are the messengers of God. Lo, I, the Lord's messenger, have told you. And finally, the angel indicated the outstanding evidence of Jesus' resurrection that yet awaited them. They would see the risen Savior with their own eyes. He would appear unto them. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, says the angel. There shall ye see him. See him with your own eyes. He will make himself known to you so that you see him. Indeed, the Lord is risen. Glorious good news. The best news in all the world that these women could possibly have heard. But not only did the angel proclaim Jesus' resurrection, the angel also applied the resurrection to the women. What is the application of the resurrection? What is the great fruit, the practical fruit of the glorious truth that Jesus is risen? It's verse 5. The very first word of the angel to the women, fear not ye. That's the truth of the resurrection. Apply to the child of God. Really, we should understand the text this way. Jesus is risen. Therefore, for this reason, fear ye not. Fear not ye, says the angel. The word of God is always particular. Fear not ye, you women who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the implication, of course, of the word of the angel is, let everyone else be afraid. The implication is, let all the enemies fear. Let all they who crucified the Lord of glory, who nailed him to his cross, who rejected him and reviled him, hated him and abused him, crucified him to the death. Let them be afraid. Let the enemies tremble with fright. Jesus is not dead. The Jesus whom you rejected, the Jesus whom you despised, reviled, scorned, that Jesus lives. Tremble, therefore. And tremble they did. Those Roman soldiers, foolishly guarding a tomb. Those soldiers in the service of the Caesar of Rome, let them fear. And they did. Verse 4. And for what? Fear of him The keepers did shake and became as dead men. And Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, let him fear, representative of a corrupt government, a sinful society, a depraved world of mankind. Let them fear. Those wicked chief priests and rulers of the people, representatives of the false and apostate church, let them fear. They who had thoroughly rejected the truth, who twisted the truth and prostituted the truth into the lie, let them fear. Those who joined their voices, away with him, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Let them fear. Let them be afraid. Let the whole world of unbelief tremble, and tremble it does. But you women, fear not ye. You child of God, you disciple of Jesus Christ, fear not ye. That's the good news of the gospel, of Jesus' resurrection. And that good news is always particular. This is the fruit of the gospel of Jesus' resurrection, the dispelling of every fear. Since Jesus is risen, we have nothing, absolutely nothing, of which to be afraid. Jesus' resurrection dispels every fear. Fear of the wrath and judgment of God. Fear of the devil and the demons of hell in his service. Fear of the wicked world. Fear of death. Fear of the grave. Fear of hell. Fear of the worst of life circumstances. Fear over your livelihood. Fear over the economy. Fear because of war and the threat of war. Fear because of a pandemic. Fear because of sickness, grave illness. Fear because of heart disease. Fear because of cancer, your own or your child's. Every fear, fear of the very worst, fear of ourselves, our own folly, our own unbelief, our own sin. Fear of death, my death. Fear of hell, the hell I deserve. Fear of the grave, the place where I deserve to be left forever. So many fears for ourselves, for our children, for the Church of Christ in the world. Fear not ye. Jesus is risen. Don't be afraid, because the Jesus who is risen as the Lord. The Lord is risen. Deliberately, the angel uses that name to refer to Jesus in verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where Jesus lays. No, where the Lord lays. You see, his resurrection proves that he is the Lord, the mighty Lord, the victorious Lord, Lord of lords and King of kings, Lord over death, Lord over the grave, Lord over hell, the Lord of all power, whether on earth or in heaven above, Lord over the false church, Lord over sickness, Lord over sin and Satan, the Lord who has defeated every enemy. There is no other Lord, one Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the glorious good news of Jesus' resurrection. The Lord is risen. That's the gospel of Jesus' resurrection to us too this morning. We worship Him and Him alone because He alone is the risen Lord. We obey His will and submit to His rule. Why? Why even when there is great cost? Why even when there is self-denial involved, hurt to ourselves? Why? Because this Jesus is Lord, my Lord, and my God. That's why we honor His word. That's why we keep His commandments. That's why we confess His name publicly before men. Because we know that He is the Lord. Verse 10 tells us, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid." The word of the Lord Himself to them. The word of His resurrection. Reinforcing the word of the angel. Be not afraid. People of God, that is the great significance of Jesus' resurrection. You look at the circumstances of your life this morning. I look at the circumstances in my life. What is it that causes you the greatest fear this morning? What is it, the thought of which inspires fear and anxiety, dread, terror in your heart? Listen, be still, and listen to the word of the gospel of Jesus' resurrection. Listen as churches, as Protestant Reformed churches, the one who is risen from the dead is our Lord. That gospel of the resurrection, proclaimed and applied, was believed by the women. They believed the word of the angel that first Easter morning. They believed the message, "Fear not ye." Oh, to be sure, they could not at that moment have grasped fully the significance of Jesus' resurrection, worked out all the implications of Jesus' resurrection for them, their families, for the church, the world. No matter, they believed. All those implications would come out. They would come out later. They would come out with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They would come out in the apostolic word, the preaching and teaching of the apostles as recorded in the book of Acts. Pay attention to how frequently in the book of Acts, in nearly every sermon or part of a sermon that's listed in the book of Acts, how frequently the apostles referenced the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The women left the grave confident, believing surely that Jesus was risen, believing and running to bring his disciples word. That's verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, not the fear of dread or terror, but the holy fear of awe and reverence for the God and Father of Jesus Christ, and did run to bring his disciples word, to tell them what the angel had told them, to bring to the disciples the certain word, not somebody took the body, his body is gone, it's not in the sepulcher. That would be a word of fear. But they went to bring the disciples' word. He is risen, as he said, and as the angel of God told us. The evidence of their faith is that they left the grave with joy. Great joy, verse 8 tells us. That joy in the resurrection of Christ, the early Christians expressed to one another when they began to gather, not any longer on the last day of the week, the Jewish Sabbath, but on the first day of the week, in commemoration of the resurrection, and the day of public worship changed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Lord also of the Sabbath. We know from church history that on that day, this is how they greeted one another. They didn't have greeters at the door of the church as some do today. They didn't greet each other with, hi, hello, how you doing? This is how they greeted one another. The Lord is risen. That was their greeting of each other when they came together for public worship. The Lord is risen. Saying that back and forth, hearing all of them saying that to each other. What a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. We believe the word that Jesus is risen this morning. We believe that word as it comes to us in the sacred scripture, as surely the word of God as the word that the angel spoke to the women. The women were favored with a special revelation from God through an angel that brought the word of God. Even then, it is striking that the angel reminds the women of Jesus' word to them. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. We believe the truth of the resurrection and experience the joy of the resurrection in and through and under and never apart from the word, the preaching and teaching of the gospel. To separate yourself from the word, refusing to hear the word of the gospel in the gathered congregation, you cannot enjoy the great benefit of that gospel. Fear dispelled, great joy in its place. The women believed, and the women were rewarded. Their faith was rewarded. That's verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Their faith was rewarded by sight. They saw him, the risen and exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be our reward one day as well. One day too, our faith will be rewarded, and faith will become sight. We will see him as he is, the one who died for us and who rose again. And seeing him, we will enter into the everlasting joy of our Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts, the blessed good news of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the joy of his resurrection and the hope of his resurrection also be enjoyed by us as it was enjoyed by those women who first heard the gospel of his